After Pentecost, over the past couple of summers, we've been looking at a sermon series called The ABCs of Christianity. What are those core doctrines that as believers we are to hold on to? But also, what are those key mandates from Scripture that every believer must be about and do, as well as what are those common roadblocks that get in the way of our faith and life in Christ that we have to avoid? What are the ABCs? And today, maybe the most central of all the ABCs when we talk about doctrine. It's grace. The center of our faith is found in grace through Jesus Christ. It is the core doctrine. Now, maybe we wrestle with this more than we want to admit, but we want to look at Paul's word here to these Christian elders in Acts and to see what we can find about grace and to celebrate it, especially as this morning we prepare our hearts to receive of this holy sacrament. Famous last words are always interesting. Now, this is not the last word of Paul. It's not his last sermon. It's not his last letter. But in a very real sense, this is a goodbye to these leaders from Ephesus. And it's really the only time in Acts where we find Paul sitting down and preaching or teaching to Christians, just Christians, this word of edification, this last word to them before he leaves. It's also really the only time we're for certain that Luke was with him and heard that preaching and teaching. He might have been elsewhere, but here Luke reports in the next chapter, very first verse, I was there and then we went here. So here he is hearing Luke, who reports this book to us. So what's here? What does Paul say to those elders from Ephesus, those Christian leaders? He reminds them, and it's a good word for the church, trouble comes. Many times trouble comes from the outside, but sadly, and you see it in his epistles, sometimes trouble can come even from the inside. And so his word to them in those days, verse 32 and 24, hold on to God and hold on to the grace of God. And so it's right that we turn to this word and to see what is it we can see here of this, not just a core doctrine, but really it's the distinctive of our faith. And I think I may have shared this before, but C.S. Lewis walked into a large meeting of theologians one time, and they were debating what's the one thing that separates Christianity from every other faith. Some would say incarnation, and then another theologian would say, yeah, but don't these other faiths or this faith believe that God entered into humanity in this way? And somebody would say resurrection. Yeah, but what about that Hindu God who resurrects every year? C.S. Lewis walked into the room, this renowned scholar and theologian. He'll give us some big answer. What is it, C.S.? It's grace. Just grace. Every other faith system is built on works righteousness. Whether it's Muslim faith, Hindu faith, modern-day Judaism, I work. I merit the favor of God by what I do. And our faith says, can't do that. It's simply the grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that saves us. Now, the world has a trouble grasping grace, but let's be honest, I have trouble. Maybe you have trouble grasping grace. It infects my life with God that, well, I'm going to do these things and so you'll be pleased with me. Let me be about this and then maybe I will have merited your love. And listen, even if we don't have grace and even if we don't have trouble receiving grace, we certainly can have trouble offering grace to others. Jesus says those who come late to the workday get paid a full wage, and it drives me crazy. Anybody else have trouble with grace? Right? It's the heart of our life with God. It is unmerited. It is unearned. And somebody else has to give it. Robert Kilpatrick got an invite to a Republican fundraiser. Dick Cheney personally sent him a note, a $2,500 a plate fundraiser years ago that was being held in Ohio. And he got word back to Dick Cheney somehow, responded through correspondence, hey, I would love to be there and love to support your candidate. You might have to pull a couple strings, though, because I'm serving a 3-year charge in Eastern Ohio at the correctional facility. Right? That's grace. Strings have to be pulled. What is it our forefather and hymn writer Charles Wesley says? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound by sin and nature's night. There's nothing I can do to merit my salvation. There's nothing I can do to earn it. It's grace by definition. Genesis 6:8 in the Old Testament, it's the unmerited favor of God. And Romans 11:6, it's the merciful forgiveness from God. You've seen that acrostic that helps remind us of that. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Not that we could earn it, but that he did that and won that for us. We're thinking about next January doing, I shared it in a sermon a couple weeks ago, a class on Wednesday nights called Contagious Christianity. And I like part of that curriculum because it reminds us how we share our faith. It reminds us that there's nothing we can do to earn or merit grace, but it's been done for us. There's nothing I can do, but grace simply means it has been done for us. And again, all other faith systems get that wrong, but in just practical life, we get that wrong. Husbands, you know you do this. You say something sarcastic that you shouldn't say. You buy a big ticket item without letting your wife know. Maybe your wife's out of town and you forget to feed the kids 2, 3, 4 meals. It happens. And so what do? You try to earn her favor back, whether it's a gift, or maybe it's a date night. Maybe it's you clean the house. We try to earn back. And by the way, do all those things. But with God, we can't. It's only a broken heart. It's only repentance. It's only receiving grace. And yes, we cooperate with that grace, but it's grace that he has given to us. It's not anything we do. It's what he has done for us. I like how U2 puts it. Grace, she takes the blame. She covers the shame, removes the stain. She travels outside of karma. When she goes to work, you can hear her strings. What once was hurt, what once was friction, what left a mark, no longer stings, because grace makes beauty out of ugly things. We just simply receive. It is gift. We cooperate. I love what St. Augustine says. God gives where he finds empty hands. It has to be gift. C.S. Lewis says, a man whose hands are full of parcels can't receive a gift. If I'm bringing anything to the table, I have missed grace. Or as Christian singer and songwriter Bill Maloney would say, you come with empty hands or you don't come at all. It's simply gift offered to us freely through Christ. And not just offered to us in terms of this wonderful gift of saving grace, justifying grace. That's why I love our Methodist tradition. This full picture of grace. That not only is there this prevenient grace that reaches ahead of time. We remember that at every baptism. That God's been reaching for us before we can understand. And then there's this saving grace where we've received what he's offered for us. But there's always more with God. This sanctifying grace. He's not done with us. He's not just covering us with his atoning work through Christ's cross. We're not just covered by his grace, but it's his filling grace. It's his sanctifying grace, his purifying grace, that every day it's raining down for those who would receive so that we might know his power. And we're especially reminded of that this morning in this meal. We're reminded that grace is costly. As we heard in verse 28 this morning, it's by the blood of the Son of God that you and I have life with our Father. It is a grace that costs. It is gift that has been bought for us. Romans 6:23 reminds us of that. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It has been bought for us. I had posted a picture, some of y'all saw it on Facebook on Father's Day, of my dad and me. when I was just a little kid. Some of you posted that you thought I was my dad. I wish I could work a 1970s mustache like he had in that picture. I appreciate your confidence in me. That couldn't happen. But that was me, that little kid on that big wheel. And I'm thinking back to being 5 years old with that big wheel and how hyper I was and how bad I was, what a problem I was. That thing was a gift, and I did not earn it. My $6 million man doll that I get 2 years later, that was a gift. I didn't earn it. You think back Christmas, and I know some Christmas can be difficult for many of us. But for most of us, we look at Christmas and we think back to those treasured times of gifts that we'd receive. I look at my childhood, didn't earn any of those. It's not just grace that's unmerited, but somebody had to pay the price for me to have that Christmas. And what we celebrate today is that someone paid the price so that you and I might know the blessings and the friendship of God. It's through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're not certain of that, and that's the other reminder of grace, not only is it costly, it's not cheap, but it's costly. And not only is it costly, but it's certain. And I pray that this morning, this sacrament be a reminder to us, whenever we doubt or we struggle with the love of God, am I loved? Can he forgive me again? Can he meet me again? Jesus says to these men huddled in an upper room, this one who is already planning to betray, and then in the midst of that upper room, you've got all these guys making false promises that they'll stay with him. They are all, as Scripture testified, not just Judas, but every last one of them is about to desert him. And in the middle of all that, betrayal and struggle and hurt, what does Jesus say? This is my body, right? This is my blood. Grace! Do this as often as you do this, remember me. I mean, it's why it's sacrament. It's mandated by Jesus. Church, do this over and over again, and in this, remember me, and in this, we remember that grace is costly. We remember his cross, his death, but also we remember the certainty of grace. Keep telling yourself about this story. Keep celebrating this holy sacrament so I can show up and remind you again of my grace for you. I love what Philip Yancey says in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace. He writes, grace means there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. No amount of spiritual calisthenics and renunciations, no amount of knowledge gained from seminaries, no amount of crusading on behalf of righteous causes. It's grace. It's a grace that reaches. It's a grace that loves. And so this morning, we are reminded not only of the cost of that grace, and we praise our Lord Jesus for that, but we're reminded again of the certainty of that grace if we would receive. If we would cooperate, if we would repent, his grace will meet us anew. Now you need to know and be reminded again that throughout Scripture, whether it's in Jude 4 or Galatians 2, there are dangers of abusing grace. There are dangers of forsaking grace, of even leaving grace. And sadly, within the Christian church, of people who have been offered such a great grace, there's a danger of withholding grace and not offering that to others. But in this meal is a great reminder for us that grace is costly and grace is certain, but grace cannot be contained. We meet with our Lord and Savior here at this altar rail and in these elements to receive anew, but to receive anew so that we can offer grace anew. We live in a grace-starved world. Who is it this week that needs to bump into the grace of God because they've bumped into you? Who is it that needs a word of grace? who needs to see an expression of grace so that Christ might be known. Paul tells us that for us to know and receive grace, it had to be bought with blood. And so we are pulled back to that upper room, that night in which Christ had offered these elements to his followers, that night in which Christ gave himself up for us. And we remember on that night that he took bread, gave thanks to God, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.